Masechet Kelim Perek Bet Mishnah Aleph. The Torah tells us that Kelim could become Tameh from people or objects. Kelim could become Tameh only from an Av HaTum'ah or Avi Avot HaTum'ah, only from that high level of impurity. But the Tum'ah that it gets depends on what type of Keli we're talking about, what type of material it was made from. The next major chunk of this Masechet, the next eight chapters, will deal with the laws of Kli Heres, earthenware utensils. Earthenware Kelim differ in certain details from other Kelim. In order to highlight those differences, we'll talk about general laws of Tum'ah first in order to eventually talk about the differences. Mishnah says, Kli Etz, Ukli Or, Ukli Etzem, Ukli Zechuchit. The following rule applies for the following types of kelim: wooden kelim, leather kelim, bone kelim, and glass kelim. Bone kelim are utensils made from bone. We're talking about bone of land animals, not birds and not fish. Leather kelim are the skin of an animal, a land animal, not the skin of a bird or a fish, kelim that were made from them. Glassware is that doesn't become tameh on a deoraita level. It's not mentioned in the Torah, but it does become tameh midderabanan from the rabbis, because glass is made from sand, which is similar to earthenware, and earthenware does become tameh from the Torah, like wood, leather, and bone kelim as well. So all of these kelim that we're mentioning here, eshutehin tehorim, umkabelehin temeim. Those of them that are flat are tahor, they don't have the ability to become tameh, but those that have a bet kibul, have a container, can become tameh. For wood, leather, bone, and glass to become tameh, they need to have a bet kibul, a receptacle, somewhere to hold things. They have walls, they have a rim, in order for something to go into and not fall off. But a flat wooden tray or a hard piece of flat leather is not tameh because it doesn't have a container, and therefore flat kelim made from these materials don't have the ability to become tameh. That's biblical law. On a derabanan level, even flat wood, leather, and bone sometimes become tameh, but glassware does not become tameh even rabbinically, nor does earthenware kelim. Another rule, nishberu taharu. If the kelim were tameh and then broke, they become tahor. How much it has to break, we'll discuss later on in the Mishnayot, but if it broke into small pieces, then of course it loses its tum'ah. Hazar ve'asa mehem kelim mekabelim tum'ah mikanul haba. If eventually the pieces were put back together and the utensil was made from them, they have the ability to become tameh from now on, but the old tum'ah doesn't come back. In other words, they're a new utensil. It's a new keli, so it starts from scratch, and therefore it's not tameh right now, but it could become tameh. Now we'll talk a little bit about earthenware. Kli heres ukli neted tum'atan shava. Keli made from earthenware and keli made from neted, which is a certain type of earth. I'll look at exactly what it is. A certain type of clay. Some say that it's chalk. They do have the ability to become tameh. They're identical in their laws. The Mishnah will list four rules that apply to both of them. Metat me'in u'metame'in ba'avir. They become tameh and transmit tumah through airspace, even without touching them. So if a source of tumah, for example, a sheretz hangs inside their airspace without actually touching any part of them, they become tameh. If a piece of food hangs inside a tameh earthenware or a netted utensil without touching any part of it, it becomes tameh as a result. So it could become tameh, the utensil, and it could make other things tameh just from its airspace alone. This is unique to the kelim of earthenware and of netted. Other types of utensils do not become tameh through airspace, but only through touching something. It doesn't matter if they're touched on the outside or the inside. So airspace is unique to earthenware and netted. Umetame'in me'ahorehen. They could become tameh through the hollow space on their undersides. If a type of earthenware vessel has a hollow base, which is sometimes used as a container. Let's say you have a, think of a vase. And the vase has a, when positioned correctly, it has a, the bottom of it, which is usually touching a table, for example, is usually like a little bit of a circular shape. So it's hollow over there. There's a hollow space. If it's turned upside down, it could be used as a container, and therefore a source of tumah touches the inside of the hollow base. It makes the base tameh. We're saying here only if it touches the base, not if it goes in the hollow space, because this flipped area of this keli, of this utensil, is not usually used in any way. It's not usually used as a base or as a container, therefore it has to actually touch. The tumah here is a rabbinic tumah. The rabbis made a decree that this tumah is only if it's touch and not if it's in the airspace. Number three, the third unique din of kelim of earthenware and neter. Ve'enan mitame'in megabehe. They do not become tameh through the outside by being touched of a source of tumah on their outside. Earthenware and neter kelim could become tameh only when the source of tumah touches, or like we said, the airspace of the inside of the keli. We learned this out from a pasuk. But once they do become tameh, they transmit tumah, of course, through their outside as well, and through their airspace. And lastly, ushviratan hi taharatan. Being broken is the only way of purifying, making tahor, the utensil. They cannot become tahor by immersing them in a mikveh. When they're broken to the point that they're no longer considered a keli, they lose the tumah that they had, and they also cannot become tameh again, even if they're fixed. So the only way to purify things is to break them. But once they break, they have no quality that considers them a keli, even if they're put back together again. Once they're broken, and even if put back together, they cannot become impure ever again going forward.